putting on the board this morning the word wounded. And the sister's testimony touched my heart. The Lord had laid this burden on my heart for some time, and come to Monarch and been filled up in this meeting. I thank the Lord for that. And then you sit there and service goes by, and you think, oh, I get to go home. But by the help of the Lord, I ask that you pray for me this morning that I be able to deliver the burden the Lord has laid on my heart. My heart is touched by our feelings. And we are human. When we become saved and endeavor to live for God, He doesn't remove our emotions. He doesn't remove our feelings. He doesn't remove the way that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And the reality is that some of those very things are the way that the Lord blesses us. I don't know what it would be like to serve the Lord without emotion, but it's not an experience I'm real interested in. And I know we don't always go on emotion. Many times it's by faith. We can go through the desert times. But I really thank the Lord for those times when His Spirit comes down and our emotions respond. And there's that feeling of inspiration in our heart. Many times our tears flow. Many times our heart beats faster. And we feel the presence of the Lord, not only in our spirit, but in our feelings. And I thank the Lord for that. By the same sense, because those feelings and those emotions are there, the enemy often likes to use those as an opportunity to affect our spirit, to affect our heart, and to drive in deep places that most often, as the sister mentioned, we'll build walls around and we'll try to hide those places, primarily because they're too painful to talk about. Many times they're too painful to look at. But part of my inspiration this morning is that the Lord has come for that very reason. Humanity was quite wounded when Christ came and walked on this earth. And I thought about when He walked among the multitudes, what it must have been to have the discernment to look beyond the faces and see the heart of man. And to see the occurrences and the things that had happened in the lives of every individual that He passed. He knew how they had been raised. He knew things that had occurred in their life. He knew the circumstances and the mountains, if you will, the things that had been placed there. And I'll even say been allowed to be there by the hand of God. Being able to look upon them and we're good fakers sometimes. We're pretty good many times at hiding those places. But as the Lord walked, He was able to look beyond. And I think that's why we have many recorded instances where the Lord looked upon someone and saw the need and saw the faith and the desire to reach out. And this morning I would encourage you that if you're carrying some wounds that are festered, you're carrying some feelings that are hurt, that the enemy has been successful in moving the emotions and been successful in causing you to lose sight of the compassion of Christ, that He's here this morning to touch those places. And the other morning, one of the sisters sang the song about their holding up the ladder. And I had the inspiration in my mind that each one of those rungs could be labeled something. The Lord allows things to come into our lives often to give us the ability to reach higher and, if you will, deeper places with Him, if we'll allow Him. But the enemy's job is to take those occurrences, those things that we hear that are said, those occurrences and situations that we may have been able to look upon, or maybe those things that have happened in our home life or those that were close to us. The enemy's job is to take those things and try to inflict as much pain and hurt as he can, to try to inflame the emotions and the feelings, to cause a separation, to cause a desire to withdraw, and to build a place of protection in that area. When the Lord laid this burden on my heart, one of the things that came to mind was the term attrition warfare. And I had to go look that up. But the way attrition warfare works is when an enemy knows that he's defeated, he will often try to inflict damage continually and around the edges often. Come and inflict and inflict and cut and cut and cut until his foe is so wounded from such loss of blood and often courage that they lay down and they give up. They're overcome maybe not by many times some great thing, but by the continual onslaught of an enemy that will continue to try to wound piece by piece. This morning we're assured that he that is greater in us, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We have a foe that knows he's been defeated. When Christ came, his message was to bind the brokenhearted, to set at liberty, to proclaim, to set the captive free. This was the message of Christ, and when he died and rose again, he rose with that power to meet the emotions and the feelings that you and I have. The enemy knows this, and so his attempt often is to wound in small places. Or maybe if he can get in a big spot that he can cause us to see something, and then we look a little askance. Not only at the world, but sometimes at those that we worship with and that we're close with. And the enemy brings the thoughts and the emotions, and the enemy's there just cutting a little bit here and a little bit there, until pretty soon I feel like I'm not like anyone else. And I'm isolated over in a corner, and I feel this. Have you ever seen some of those videos of predators that will approach a herd? And if he can get one off by itself, then that pack will come in and surround and to destroy that one that's by itself. You ever felt like you were the only one? You ever felt like no one ever understood? Has the enemy ever been there and said, look at that, and you're the only one that's this way? And how could that happen to you? And pretty soon you feel that withdrawing and that separation. Like us to turn to Ephesians in the 6th chapter. In our battles, wouldn't it be a lot easier if we could strap on a shield and a breastplate, give me a sword, and let's head out there, right out there on the field, and let's meet our enemy face to face. And if he kills me, I get to be a martyr and go to heaven, and if I survive, then I've got a victory right out there, and I can go with my own strength and my own might and go out and vanquish my foe. I've had that feeling before. Had those feelings or those hurts inside, and I wish I could just face it head on and either lose to it or win and be done with it. But instead, what happens is sometimes the Lord will always bring grace if we'll turn to Him. But then the wound doesn't always just close and go away. And 2 days later, here's the enemy again, and he starts twisting in that place and bringing back thoughts and emotions and feelings. And I think, oh, here we go again. I'd like to read here in Ephesians in the 6th chapter to set our mind where the battle's not out in the open. It's not out in the physical. 10th verse of the 6th chapter says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whereunto take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. These things that God has provided for us, places of refuge, places of safety, they're not out in the open. They're most often in the inner parts. When He says our battle is not against flesh and blood, and I'll speak to something here, the enemy has many tools that he can use to wound us, and it's not always about feelings. Sometimes he uses to try to afflict or try to inflame the flesh to try to bring it out, to try to stir those things. There's many things that the enemy can use. And this morning, it's well if we recognize beyond the devices to see the spirit that's behind in some of these places. We live in a technological age. And it would be easy for us to fight this battle in a temporal sense. And we could take all the tools that the enemy could use and have a bonfire and burn them all. But the spirit of the enemy is still there. We must recognize how the enemy works to inflame. We must understand how he works, that whatever tool or method or device that he's going to use to bring in, to bring, and I'll call it a wound, but a place where he has afflicted us, that he's got a hold, if you will, that he's penetrated and caused damage in me, and now he's got an avenue, if you will, to come back again and again in this place. It goes beyond the physical, and we must see that the enemy works in the spiritual, working on the emotions and the feelings. One scripture says it's the lust of the flesh, the pride alive, and the lust of the eye. Those are the spirits of the enemy. These are the places where he works, but the devices are many.
Yes, that's right.
And we need the Lord to help us to be able to recognize how the enemy works to come and bring these places. Because if he can come, and trust me, we can be affected by what the enemy brings. But by the Lord's help, he will help us to stand, to be able to withstand, to be able to face these places with victory in our life. If you read on down here, the 16th verse especially, I felt like the Lord inspired to me. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Why does he use the word quench and the word fiery? And the way the Lord inspired this to me is that when a dart is on fire, it inflames. It sets on fire. It's not just to set a vivid image in your mind of a dart that's on fire that you shoot into the enemy's camp. But the reason in days of old they would light their arrow on fire was often they were going to hit a target that was flammable, that the fire might spread quickly, cause confusion and smoke and as much damage as possible. The enemy knows our sensitive places. He knows the areas where we have been affected by life. Many times, not by our own wishes or wants, or our own actions. This sister talked about a man that left his family. My wife has gone through many hard things in life from family trouble. When you're young, you can't control these things. And you grow up with the hurts, if you will, and the effects. And the enemy likes to fire the fiery dart, to aim at these places to inflame, to cause it to burst, to affect the emotions of what's inside. But he said, we have an answer for this. He said to lift the shield of faith that you might quench, to take the fire out. Enemy, I can still see what you're doing here, but I turn my eyes to the author and the finisher. I raise this in your face, that the arrows that would inflame and incite are quenched by my faith in God. The mountain's there, Lord, because you allowed it. And my faith takes in, Lord, to quench this dart. The enemy's brought the feelings and the emotions to my heart. The tears may begin to flow. But Lord, I'm looking to you to take this pain, to quench this feeling, that I might not have hard feelings, that I might not be puffed up, that I might not feel the injustice and the unfairness of it. But Lord, that I can look to you to bear the weight of this, the shield of faith. I would encourage you this morning to lift the shield of faith. in the faces of your afflictions, in the faces of your wounds, in the faces of your mountains. There's a man that I love dearly and gave his life to the mission work. I lived in Guthrie at the time. The enemy liked to fire darts in their questions. Why did the Lord take him? Why was he allowed to die of malaria when he was doing the Lord's work? Ever had feelings like that? Ones that are close to you, and the enemy comes in and he starts to play on the emotions and the feelings, starts to bring the doubts to inflame and incite. Lift the shield of faith. Lord, my eyes are on you, that you know what is best. And Lord, your thoughts and your ways are higher than mine. I cannot control these things. I cannot control people. I can't make them do what I think they ought to do. But Lord, I'm trusting you to lead and direct. And if you've allowed these... Remember one time when I was... first began ministering, had a visiting minister in our congregation, and I heard a comment that was made by someone in our congregation, and I felt the enemy was there to, oh, why'd they say that? Something about you that's there. Something that's in your direction. Did you hear that? You ever felt the enemy do that to you? Oh, did you hear that? Look what they must think. The enemy's in the business of attrition tonight or this morning, endeavoring to inflict as much damage as he can. Matthew in the 18th chapter, I had never thought of the first part of this scripture like this. I always looked at it as two separate things. And this scripture talks about offenses, talks about stumbling blocks or things that would cause you to fall. In the first part of this, they had asked who was greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It says, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. He said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever there shall for humble himself as this little child, the same as greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Thought about that. We know humility is a key to our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. I can't come in my own puffed up ways and my own puffed up knowledge, but I have to cast myself on Him. But He went on to begin to talk about offenses. And the Lord brought to my mind that when, as a child, you ever seen children play together? One day, sometimes they have some differences. What happens the next day? They usually go right back to playing together again. They're forgotten pretty quickly. They didn't really take too personal. And sometimes our children can't have feelings. But for the most part, they're quite pliable. Quite small. Quite workable. You know, most often when our offenses come... it's because it's what I think about myself. How could that be said about me? Or how could that happen? And if I was able to, and it's I. It's hard to hear sometimes. But sometimes when we're affected and we're wounded, it always starts with me. To humble myself. Even in the circumstances of life that I can't control and the things that the Lord has allowed to be part of my lot in life, it starts with becoming as a child, looking to Him and saying, Lord, if this is how it's going to be, yes, Lord. I'm a child and You're my King. You're my Father. You know what's best for me? The provision that You provided for me is true and right. It's what I need. And do you know that when we're able to humble ourselves like that, there's a jewel and a value that comes from these things that you can't obtain any other way. And I don't know why some have to go through some things and others don't. We heard the song, some through the fire, some through the flood. Yes. I don't always understand why. Many times that's one of the enemy's greatest tools, is why me. Why am I the one that has to experience this and bear this? But it starts in my heart of yes, Lord. Becoming as a little child. And there's another hand to this then. I want to be very careful that I not be the one that casts the stumbling block. Lord, help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Words of peace, words of reconciliation, words of ministering. What does the word minister mean? And we're all ministers this morning. We're all called to be ambassadors of Christ. We're all called with the ministry of reconciliation to bring back together. We're all called to be peacemakers. Lord, help us to know how to hold forth word of truth, spirit of healing, and I not be one that has offended one of the little ones. I'm one of the little ones. Wouldn't be here without the Lord's help. Even this morning, enemy comes and brings thoughts, and I'm meditating, Lord, is this the time? And the enemy is right there, wanting to afflict, wanting to wound. This scripture teaches us that it's better to lose part of myself than to be offended, than to allow that thing to be inflamed. And I think of the scripture that says, it won't take time to read it, but it says greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When you think of that, do you think of physically laying down your life? What is your life this morning? It's really not the breath and the blood pumping. Your life is everything that's around you. It's how you're living. It's what's in your life. Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down of himself for his friends. In a sense, to crucify myself. In a sense, to cut off of myself for the benefit of those that are around me. Why? Not to lift up, but that the Lord may be able to inspire and touch. That I might not be the one that would cause another to lose sight. It's a two-way street. It's balanced. I must look after myself that the Lord is able to touch those places where the enemies move. And then I must be so careful with my words and my actions that they be inspired by the Spirit. That I'm able to minister in His strength and in His grace. One scripture talks about the wisdom that is from above is peaceable, easy to entreat, it's gentle. I want Him to deal with me that way, so I want to deal that way. I want to have the same spirit in my efforts for God. If it's ever because I've seen this and I want to go, Lord, help me, that it's in the right spirit. Luke in the 10th chapter. We've had a message in this meeting about being a first responder. And the brother brought out the image, which was quite powerful, of the people that drove around on the on-ramp around the man laying on the road. So I'll bring that same image back to your mind in the sense of this account in Luke in the 10th chapter, in the 30th verse. Says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Have you seen anyone around you in this condition? And not in a physical condition either. Wounded, broken. And it says the enemy. Remember this morning, we do ourselves a service to separate the spirits of the enemy and people. Many times we look at the flesh and blood, and what the enemy works with is often the flesh and blood, at people, at persons. Help us, Lord, to look behind the flesh and blood and see what the enemy is using. This is my conflict. It's the spirit behind it. No wonder His love was so great. No wonder, because it was still His creation. And when I'm the one that's been wounded, help me see that's still God's creation and see what the enemy's doing behind. The Scripture says the enemy stripped Him and wounded Him and broke Him. And when I look on my fellow man, both saved and unsaved, and I see the wounds of life, and they're evident. We try to hide them, but you know they come out. Sometimes the loudest ones are the ones that have been hurt the most. And do you know what our tendency is? It's to drive around. It's to not get my hands dirty. To not get embroiled in. And if this man took responsibility, and he didn't just patch him and leave him, he took him with him and paid for him and put him up. And then he told the innkeeper, whatever he needs, I'll stand for it. Do you know this is our ministry this morning? You want to talk about why the heathen rage? It's so easy sometimes to stand up and just, in our righteous, just everybody just ought to look beyond the flesh and blood and find the wound where the enemy has worked. And to find the wound, you have to get to know someone. You can't do it from afar. When this Samaritan walked by, he didn't just throw the clothes over to him and, here's some clothes and here's some bandages. Help yourself. He got in there and he got blood on his hands, got dirt on his knees, and he washed him up, bound him up, and took him with him. The Lord has called us to this morning. One of the visions that the Lord gave to my mind, He laid this on my heart, was a wounded soldier trying to fight. When the enemy has been successful in wounding us deeply, it hinders our ability to service others. And I think in my mind of a soldier out there trying to still fight, but he's shot full himself. And though the will and desire is there, he's got so many wounds, if you will, so many places that the enemy has been successful, that he's struggling to fight. And when his comrade is down, he's almost incapable of helping him because of his own wounds. This man, this good Samaritan, was in a position to help his brother. He was well-bodied. He had strength. He had something to give. And we don't know the whole life of this Samaritan, but as I apply this in my life and in my heart, I think, Lord, if I'm so bound up, I've got nothing to give. But if I've allowed the Lord to work in those places, I've got some bandages to offer. I've got some clothes to provide. I've got some experiences that are unique to me. Now, I don't know if the Samaritan had been beaten before or not, but he knew how to minister to this man. He knew what he needed. Sometimes the very things that God has allowed in our life, the purpose is that we learn to minister to those that are affected by the same kinds of things. And if the enemy is successful in bringing me down to my mountain, then it's hard for me to minister in my area that God wants me to work in. Climbing up the ladder, rung by rung. And when I look over and there's my brother and he's struggling with the same thing, I've got something to share with you. I've got something to minister to you. And you know what the enemy does when we find victory in these places? He tries to discount it. It's really not that much. You know, this is really just unique to you, and you really don't have anything to offer. You should just be quiet. Oh, that person, sir, you know what? You really ought to just stay. You know, you're really not qualified. The Lord was able to use the Samaritan for this man. And the Lord is desiring to use you and us.
Yes, right.
To heal and to touch and to minister.
Yes.
Do you think that when Jesus sent His disciples out, and in one place He talked about going into the highways and the hedges. Who goes into the highways and the hedges? It's not the prominent ones. They're out on the road. It's the people that have got something to hide. It's the people that don't like being touched, maybe. It's the ones out there and that no one. The Lord's church is made up of misfits. I'm one. I don't fit anywhere else. But He ministered. Be encouraged in what the Lord's done in your life to minister to those in the highways and hedges. And you don't have to have all the words right. You don't have to have all the sentences put together. Maybe this man had never bandaged a wound. I don't know. But the fact that you're ministering. Little boy just had a couple pieces of bread and some fish. The Lord said, give it to me. You may not feel like you have much. Give it to the Lord. Let Him use you in those places. The young man saw a great need. These people are hungry. Who's hurting in your life? And is it you? It's me sometimes. You know, we become saved and sanctified and then we get hurt. And the Lord ministers. And then we get hurt again. And the Lord ministers and we get hurt again. You can call it a mountain if you want. But it's the Lord drawing and working. And sometimes the hard part is where we've been wounded is when we become to realize something that's in my life. And that hurts too. Because I didn't think it was there. Colossians in the 3rd chapter. In the 12th verse, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind and meekness, long suffering, forbearing, as we've heard, putting up with one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, these are the ingredients for a strong congregation. These are ingredients for a strong body of people. And the bigger the body, the more we need this. Because the more feelings and tones and deliveries that the enemy has to work with. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We have this song, don't we? The bond of perfectness. When my child is hurt, I hurt. My heart hurts for them. Because I can feel their pain. And why can I feel their pain? It's not just because it's my flesh and blood. It's because I love them. It's because my heart is... I care for them. I don't want them to feel what they feel. The Lord is able to perfect this bond in us.
Yes, that's right.
That greater love that I would have, that I'd lay down myself for you. One scripture tells us that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by this bond of perfectness. This interest that I have in you, and not in a critical sense, but in the desire to minister, to care for you, to clothe you. Do you think when Jesus talked about visiting those who were in prison, giving clothes, a cup of water, it's physical things, but it goes much deeper than that. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sounds like a complete place, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A place that's been ministered to, both in my heart and in yours. You ever not wanted someone to minister to your need? I felt that before. I like the hurt. I want to hold this. I want to feel this. It's the enemy inflaming. And the one speaks to admonish. The one speaks to minister. Accept our ministrations. Lord, help me to receive the places that you want to bind up, the places you want to heal, the places, Lord, you want to remove even. The Lord does do that. Sometimes He removes the emotion of a thing, but I found most often not. Most often He wants to minister continually to this place. It'd be easy if He just removed it. Spiritual Prozac, pill you can take, just not feel anything, just kind of float along evenly. It's not the spiritual experience this morning. But if we'll allow the Lord to use each other, and do you know that in order for me to allow you to minister to me, I have to accept you. I have to accept your hands. I have to accept your words. And I don't know about you, but pretty often the Lord likes to use sources that I'm not used to. And maybe the devil's put thoughts in your mind about someone or something, and then they stand up and you sit there and, that was mine. Lord, that's what I needed. The Lord is faithful to us this morning. And the Scripture tells us that He's touched by our infirmities. If I'm touched by my child's infirmities, then my Father's touched by mine. He understands my feelings. And we like to tell our children, oh, just be tough. Grow up. Be mature. Quit being a baby. I'm thankful the Lord doesn't tell me that. Sometimes He might. But more often than not, He understands why I'm hurt and why I'm wounded. And it's not just discounted, but there's ministration for it. To touch it. It's real. And no, everyone else may not understand it, but I certainly feel it. Mike, turn to 1 Peter. The fourth chapter. This is the promise that we've been given. First Peter in the fifth chapter, excuse me. Sixth verse says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You notice how He starts with humility. It's different writers. It's different places. But when it comes to places of offense and hardship and the mountains of life, he starts with humility almost every time. Having the mind of Christ, took on the form of a servant. Then he goes on to talk about working things out. It starts in my heart. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
I do. And I do because I felt it. And I think all of us have this morning. Sometimes I remember in a time when our family was going through a difficult time, general hurts of life. I was growing up. And I remember my parents falling in love with the song, "Does Jesus Care?" And the chorus says, "Yes, He does." Because many times in our wounds and in our hearts, it's just to know that He does care about it. Because what the enemy, how part of the way that the enemy inflames is to tell us He doesn't care. And that no one cares, and that, again, you're alone. He does care. And a part of the Scripture says that He won't allow anything that's too big or too great for us. It's driven by His love.
That's right.
Eighth verse says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom he may inflame, who may inflict the damage." And it's not likely this morning that we're going to leave here and be tempted to do the worst of sins. The enemy doesn't typically lay traps like that. But if he can play on my emotions and my feelings with great evil intent, that he might draw me away. The ninth verse says, and we come back to another writer, but the same thought. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." I have a Facebook account. Some of you do, some of you don't. I use it to talk to people. I like the connection. There's a lot of things on there you should stay away from. But all you have to do is spend some time reading some people's thoughts, and you can see some of the afflictions, both of saved and unsaved. You can see it. It comes out. My heart was heavy. I guess it was a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, when the verdict for the young man that was killed in Florida came out. And I had people that I would say were saved on one hand and on the other, but their thoughts were so far apart. And I can't speak to innocence or guilty, God knows. And there's a lot of aspects to that situation. But what I saw was the hurt in both directions. I saw the pain. Looking beyond the flesh and blood, you can see the enemy working, driving a wedge. He'll use culture. He'll use race. He'll use gender. He'll use upbringing. He'll use many tools. Anything he can find to inflame the emotions and the senses, to separate, to drive a wedge. Let me look to the author and the finisher. I don't have all the answers this morning, far from it. But I have the answer. Can answer all of the ins and outs and how does everything fall. And I can't determine every solution. But I know the place to look for the ministration to what's in my heart and in your heart this morning. And if we'll look in this place, we'll find the bond of perfectness that brings together rather than drives apart. I want to leave you with this 10th verse. It says, "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while." Our wounds are not just healed in a moment. We're allowed to suffer sometimes. But the promise that we have is that in our suffering and in our wounding, if you will, it can be kept clean and clear. Infection is not allowed to set in if we'll look to the Lord. To puff up, to ooze, to be sore. When something's sore, we protect it. I think of when Christ went through what He went through for us. His suffering was laid out. Oh, that's a hard place to come to. But His suffering was laid out. Wasn't hidden. Wasn't covered. But He suffered for all to see even. Did that for you and me. And our tendency is to cover it. But it says the God of all grace, the God of all favor, the God of ministration to my need, that after I have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen. If you read this connotation, it's about a building. To build it and establish it, to strengthen it, to solidify it, that it's not easily moved. We've heard messages about divine revelation. How do they come? Through my suffering most often. Lord, I don't pray that You remove the opportunity. I can't be a clone. I can't be a robot. I'm human. But Lord, not if but when the times come that those things would wound me deep. And they're not even resolved. They're still there. And I'm faced with them from time to time. I come to Monarch and I'm faced with some of them. And they still hurt. And tears come to the eyes sometimes. Lord, I don't understand why You could let it come to this. But I look to You and I hand my suffering to You that You might perfect me. That You might establish me and strengthen me. Paul had a thorn in the flesh that it might prove that the Lord's strength was sufficient for him to minister, be a child of God, to witness. You think he ever got over the wound inside for the damage that he had caused? Do you not think that the enemy played on his emotions steadily when he come face to face with a grandma whose grandson's still in jail? Or the one that had been maimed because of something that he had done, and they're going around and their arm's gone or whatever the penalty was? You don't think the enemy was there to remind him? Sometimes we're faced. I think of sometimes my failures. Places where I feel like I didn't do a good enough job. Feel like I could have done better for the Lord in this area. And the opportunity has passed. And the enemy comes in and likes to remind me. This is your fault. Or maybe you didn't do what you should have here. You should have spoke here. You shouldn't have spoke here. You can err on both sides. But I have to look to the One that will perfect me, establish and strengthen me. Amen. I'd encourage you to do the same this morning. Pray for me.